Yesterday on the show, we started a conversation about how Haiti can transform itself and transition from rescue efforts into long-term rebuilding. We spoke to economist Paul Collier about that process, and we asked him what the triggers are for long-term economic sustainability.
First, let's look for sustainable housing. So not tents, but simple one-room buildings that can then be expanded down the line. Let's look for those houses to be located in places where economic opportunity can be built.
Okay, how do you actually make that happen? We have somebody here with the answers to that question. Andreas Duwani is an architect from Miami. He was involved in the reconstruction after Katrina, and he just returned from Haiti 2 days ago. Good morning, Andreas.
Hello, good morning.
So do you agree with what you just heard from economist Paul Collier, that you need to find simple, sustainable building solutions so that eventually leads to long-term recovery?
No, I think so. I think actually just about every idea for the time being is a good one. But in the end, the one sustainable thing, given the very large numbers and problems, the scale of the problems, is to harness the energy of the people, you know, the people themselves and their smarts. You know, I think the Haitians, from what I could tell, were clever, self-organizing people that, given the chance, will dig themselves out.
Okay, but this is an urgent issue at the moment because you have two warring problems. You have, number one, an issue of urgency that people need shelter now. Hurricane season is coming. Rains are coming. Mm-hmm. And the other is that you have to build something, some kind of structures for them that can actually survive hurricane season.
Well, there are lots of structures. And I was studying aerial photography yesterday, from Google. You should know that Google Earth has actually photographed Port-au-Prince after the hurricane. After the earthquake.
Wow.
You know, they have very recent photographs. And what's astonishing is the pattern of masonry buildings haven't fallen. You know, what most people visit is the downtown with masonry buildings, but then you look at the shanty towns on the hillside, which are built out of more resilient materials, you know, metal and wood, and what you find is huge areas that are intact. And these are the kinds of structures that people from the outside never consider. You know, they always consider, let's have the permanent solid structures. And, while there's a huge areas of shanty towns that have not yet been visited, you know, I've asked people and said, no, we haven't penetrated that area. We don't know what's happening there. But the aerial photography shows that entire areas have survived. And these are the hand-built structures of the people themselves.
So rather than bringing in tents, should we be investing in structures that can be put up very quickly and easily and, I assume, inexpensively, that perhaps can survive the elements?
Well, no, I don't think there's a rather. I think we need to build in tents. We need to bring in tents, and we need to bring in prefabricated buildings of all technologies. But when you think about that the largest, proposals are maybe 500 units, 1,000 units, and there could easily be 100,000 and 200,000 people in need of housing, I think that the answer is everything must be done, but not least let people build for themselves the way they're used to. Even if to our eyes it looks incredibly impoverished, you know, and incredibly sad, you know, those little shanty town structures are really survived.
No, and they have experience. They have experience in precisely those conditions. I guess, you know, we've talked with people from Architecture for Humanity on this program, and they talk a good game about what's needed in Haiti. I'm wondering if there's a way to create what Paul Collier talked about yesterday, this sort of staircase of architecture, where you begin with a tent, but then the tent becomes part of maybe a building that becomes more of a traditional shanty dwelling. That so you can actually accumulate dwelling rather than having to constantly throw things away.
Well, I think so. I'm not sure that tents can grow, but I do think that, for example, a pile of bulk deliveries of 2x4s, you know, and piles of corrugated iron, which is what they make the roofs and walls out of. Corrugated steel, and maybe, you know, wire to slash things together. Just delivering piles of these things would actually yield to a lot of energy being applied, you know, by people themselves. Now, there is one caveat, which is these are very poor people, and they're, you know, it's more likely than not that they'll just sell the stuff, you know, that'll become into a kind of form of very minor graft. So we have two contradictory things here. We have the people's ability to do for themselves, but also the need to make sure that they land in the right things.
Now, how is this different than the experience that you had in rebuilding Katrina? Are you seeing some of the same issues?
Well, no, Katrina, you know, the little houses, the so-called Katrina cottages, of which 3,000, for example, were delivered in Mississippi, those are palaces by Haiti standards, you know. The very wealthiest people live in what in Mississippi is a temporary Katrina cottage. So, you know, I've designed already four types of housing for, you know, almost one a day. And what I have to do is recalibrate downwards. You know, I designed something that seems very simple and very, you know, and then I realize that these people are even poorer than that. This morning I read about a woman in the New York Times that built, that had an 8-foot by 8-foot shelter built for four people for $60.
Wow.
You know, and even after 4 days, I have not calibrated downwards to that.
But could it withstand a hurricane? That's the question.
Well, it's got flexibility.
Andreas Duane is an architect from Miami. He was involved in the reconstruction after Katrina. He also returned from Haiti just 2 days ago. Thank you so much.
$60. Wow.
I would be afraid to be in a house in bad weather in a $60 home.
It's all about sort of recalibrating downward. That's how you understand what's going on in Haiti.
Okay, coming up, Christians, Buddhists, Jews, and more unite. Today is for you. Here's a hint as to why. I got you, babe. The movie Groundhog Day is the intersection of many faiths. Honestly, we're going to talk about that in a little bit.